Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. In the annals of criminal justice, it's a rare occurrence indeed when someone waives the right to a trial, voluntarily gives up the presumption of innocence, and pleads guilty to first-degree murder. But that's what Jared Remy did today, admitting to the brutal killing of his girlfriend, Jennifer Martel, last summer.
Jared Remy is the son of Red Sox broadcaster Jerry Remy. Last August, neighbors watched in horror as he murdered Martel by slitting her throat and repeatedly stabbing her in front of their four-year-old daughter. The case raised serious questions about a system that failed to stop Remy, a serial domestic abuser whom the courts had let off again and again.
But not today, though it came too late to save Jennifer Martel. After Remy pleaded guilty, a judge sentenced him to life in prison without parole. WBUR's Jack Lepiarz was in the courtroom for the sentencing, and he joins us now. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Anthony.
So really, it is quite unusual, isn't it? First-degree murder, to plead guilty to a first-degree murder charge like this.
It's very rare, because usually when you plead guilty, you're getting something out of it. In this case, under state law, a first-degree murder conviction, automatic life sentence without parole. So in this case, in this circumstance, it means that Jared Remy is not leaving prison until after he dies.
So tell us why. What do we know about why he pleaded guilty?
Well, Jared Remy said that he wanted to take responsibility for his actions. It's also clear that he was not likely to win this case. There were a lot of witnesses. It's possible he could have argued for a second-degree murder conviction, but even that seemed unlikely. And then there was this other angle, which his lawyer alluded to after the hearing, which is that there's been a lot of scrutiny on the Remy family, on his parents, Jerry and Phoebe, and that did they enable this sort of behavior? He has a long violent streak that goes back to when he was in high school. There have been implications, allegations that the Remys allowed this behavior to go forward, almost an indictment of the family, shifting some of the blame onto them. Seems he wanted to stop some of that.
So tell us what he actually said in court today.
Well, he gave about a one-minute statement just before he was sentenced. And in this statement, he apologized for his actions. He called Jennifer Martel an angel who straightened out his life. He said he loved her. The issue, he says, is that he also had another love, which was his love for drugs, that prescriptions and steroids. And he says, ultimately, those took over. But he also offered in very plain words exactly why he killed Martel.
I always told Jen she could leave, but do not threaten me with my daughter. That night, Jen had a knife in her hand and threatened me with my daughter. So I killed her.
So there, Jared Remy explaining in very plain words his motivations. He continued to add that he thinks it's wrong for a woman to threaten a father of a child with that child.
Tell us something about the reaction in the courtroom, specifically from the family of the murdered Jennifer Martel.
Well, they were pretty quiet through the hearing. A lot of them choking back tears. They did issue a statement, which a spokesperson, Nancy Sterling, read just after the hearing.
We do not have the words to express our emotions regarding the tragic and senseless murder of our daughter, Jennifer. We hope that Jared has remorse for what he did to her and to our granddaughter. If just one family learns from our tragedy by recognizing the warning signs of domestic violence, it will help us to honor Jennifer's memory.
Now, as far as the Remy family, they have not commented on the situation. It's also important to note they were not in the courtroom this morning. That was actually by request by Jared Remy. He asked that they not be there. His lawyer implied again that there's been this implication of the family.
Jack, let me ask you finally, and we heard Nancy Sterling make reference to that. This really is a truly awful story about a serial domestic abuser. Jennifer Martel knew that she was in trouble. She stayed with Jared. Remind us a little bit about Jared Remy's long history here when it came to domestic abuse.
Yeah, well, as I said earlier, I mean, this is just a long, long history that stretches back to his high school years. And the Boston Globe reported on this extensively. I mean, there were incidents when he was 17 pushing an ex-girlfriend in high school, threatening to shoot her new boyfriend, who was 3 years younger than him. He assaulted the mother of his first child while she was holding their baby. For that, he only got 1 year probation. The list goes on and on. And for most of these, you know, incidents, he received 1 year probation or no guilty plea. So he had no convictions on his record when this came about. Edward Ryan, you know, mentioned that, and he said it's important to note that the court system here, this is again Remy's attorney speaking, saying that the court system is not responsible for predicting crimes. He says the court system is a reactive system. He says the court system cannot hold someone for what they might do in the future. They can only hold them for what they've already done.
Mm. Well, truly a horrible story. WBUR reporter Jack Lepiar is there. Thanks so much for bringing us up to date on this.
You're welcome.